We're continuing our performance review series, focusing on the Buffalo Bills wide receivers today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/LockedOnNFL. Well, folks, we are continuing our performance review series today. The focus is on the Bills wide receivers. And just like we did for the quarterbacks, the running backs, tight ends, and specialists, we're going to evaluate what the Bills have at receiver to determine what they need. Real quick, in case you missed it earlier in the week, you'll notice if you're joining us on YouTube that I'm recording this from a hotel room. I'm in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl this week. And I'll be in Arizona next week for the Super Bowl. And so my backdrops will not be what they normally are. But obviously, this is where I'm at. And so this is where I have to record the podcast. And so obviously not my favorite scenery behind me here. But this is the way it's going to be for the next couple of weeks. So let's have the conversation on the Bills wide receivers. And obviously, this is a big talk to have today. Just given some of the questions that exist with this group. Now, we'll start with a player that there really aren't any questions about, and that's Stephon Diggs, the Bills' number one wide receiver, acquired through a trade in 2020 with the Minnesota Vikings. Steph is 29 years old. He turns 30 in November. He's under contract through 2027. He just signed that four-year, $96 million extension, so Steph Diggs is locked up long-term. In terms of his 2022 statistical production, he caught 108 passes for 1,429 yards, 11 receiving touchdowns, and those 11 receiving touchdowns tied the franchise record for a single season that Bill Brooks had set, and now Stephon Diggs also has tied him. I thought there was a chance he could break it this year. I guess we'll have to wait one more year for that record to be broken. Some advanced metrics on Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen had a passer rating of 124.3 when targeting Stephon Diggs, and that's the highest passer rating when targeted of Stephon Diggs' career. And it's a big jump from last year when it was 94. And a big reason for the jump in passer rating when targeted is in 2021, when Josh Allen was targeting Diggs, he threw six interceptions. This past year, Josh only threw one interception when targeting Stephon Diggs. Another number that is in a good spot is his reception percentage. Stephon Diggs caught 72.5% of his targets this past year, and that's up from 65% in 2021. Now, it wasn't quite the 78.4 in 2020, but still a really good number. Steph Diggs averaged 13.2 yards per reception. That's the most during his three seasons in Buffalo by a full yard. Now, yards after catch, not necessarily a number that Steph Diggs has been successful with in Buffalo, 3.9 yards after catch per reception this past season. It's low, but it is the best mark that he's had in three seasons with the Bills. Diggs' average depth of target was 11.9, which is the exact same number it was in 2021. And then his contested catch rate was 50%, which is solid. His career average is 57%. And then lastly, his drop rate, 7.7% this past year, which is actually pretty high for him, second highest of his career, and his career average is 5%. So a little uptick in drops from Stephon Diggs this past season. Now, as far as his 2022 review, I mean, Steph Diggs remained one of the premier wide receivers in the NFL. The production speaks for itself. The consistency speaks for itself. He's a high-impact player that does everything. I love the uptick in efficiency when it comes to passer rating, reception percentage, yards per catch. All of that was really, really good. As far as his 2023 outlook, this one's real simple. Just more of the same. Now, I hope the group around him can be better given the attention that Diggs commands, but we're just looking for Steph Diggs to continue to be the exact player he's been for three seasons in Buffalo. Now let's pivot to a player that it's going to be a little more complicated, and that's Gabriel Davis, a 2020 fourth round draft pick, number 128 overall, 23 years old. He turns 24 in April. He's entering year four of his four-year, $3.9 million rookie contract. In 2022, he caught 48 passes on 93 targets, 836 yards, 7 touchdowns. Now let's dig into some advanced metrics with Gabe Davis. The passer rating when targeted, 80.7, and that's a very, very low number and down considerably from where he was in his first two seasons when that passer rating when targeted was around 110. It's down to 80.7. So Gabe got a lot more opportunity, and the opportunity led to some efficiency issues, which is also encapsulated by the next number that I want to mention, which is his reception percentage, which was 51.6% last year. It's a very, very poor number, and it's been a poor number for Gabe, only 57.4% in his first two seasons. Now, I understand this number is low due to a high average depth of target, which we'll talk about in just a minute, and some of it has to do with uncatchable targets, but that said, it's still way too low. Given the spread dynamics of the Bills' offense and the attention on Stephon Diggs, there should be a significantly higher level of efficiency from the Bills' number two wide receiver. But that's just not the case, 51.6%. We just talked about Steph Diggs at 72.5%. Gabe's got to be in the 60s, at least, right? Mid-60s. And so that's a huge concern of mine. Now, Gabe had a really good average yards per reception, 17.4. That's the highest of his career. Yards after catch continues to not be something Gabe Davis really provides, 2.9 yards after catch per reception, which is a full yard less than his first two seasons. So, I mean, that's still a really poor number, only 2.9 yards after catch per reception. His average depth of target was 16.3, and I find that number to be really, really high for a guy that had nearly 100 targets. In fact, it's the highest in the NFL among wide receivers with at least 50 targets. And to me, it speaks to the limitations of his skill set. He's not a big enough factor in the short to intermediate areas of the field because he isn't a quick separator, which I think limits the offense, especially when you didn't have your slot position figured out to really gain, right, in that slot player what you don't have in Gabe Davis. His contested catch rate came down a ton this year, only 35% in contested situations. In 2021, that was 72.7%. But in 2020, as a rookie, it was 26.7%. So I think it normalized in a way. I think last year, the 2021 season, was the outlier. His drop rate went up again, 12.7%, up from 10.3% in his first two seasons. So a lot of concerns here with these numbers. And I think, you know, we'll get into the review here, but 836 yards, 7 touchdowns, that's solid wide receiver 2 production, but it goes beyond that. Drops, they're a problem. The limited route tree is a problem. Limited ability to win at all levels of the field is a problem. Limited yards after catch skill set, all of that limits the offense as a high volume target. We're talking about nearly 100 targets last year for Gabriel Davis when he doesn't provide a complete enough skill set to not limit the offense when you're going to funnel so much of it through him. Now, look, he had some really good moments. I don't want to take that away from him. Some really strong moments. And I like that he's still very young. I mean, he's got 3 seasons under his belt, and he's entering his age 24 season. I want to be optimistic here, but I think the Bills need to either get a do-everything wide receiver 2 and bump Gabe Davis down the pecking order, or get the slot receiver position right so that you can get the missing components from Gabe's skill set and not limit your offense if he's going to be on the field as much as he is. Now, as far as his 2023 outlook, I mean, I'm looking for way more efficiency with his opportunities. The drops have to come down, and he's got to capitalize on a contract year. There's a lot on the line for Gabe as a player, but also for this Bills offense if they're going to rely on him in that same role again. Now, I'm not sure he's going to reinvent himself as a player. In fact, I would tell you that he's not going to. The skill set is the skill set. So you have to ask yourself questions about how do you maximize what he does bring to the offense but not limit the offense. And I think that comes through either getting a legit slot receiver, again, to give your offense what Gabe's skill set is missing, or you need to get a do-everything wide receiver too, and then Gabe Davis just comes down the pecking order. But I don't think you can go back into it with, you know, some questionable slot receivers. Diggs is your one, Davis is your two. I think you're asking for a lot of the same issues that plagued you this past season, because I don't think he's going to reinvent himself as a player this coming offseason. In fact, I think that would be foolish to expect that. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members that you surround yourself with. And that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond just resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's move on to a bunch more of these Bills receivers. We're going to get to them all. Isaiah McKenzie, Khalil Shakir, Crowder, Kumaro, Beasley, Brown. We got a lot to get to here today. So the next one up is Isaiah McKenzie, a player that was acquired in season during the 2018 year. He's 27 years old. He turns 28 in April. As far as his contract, he's entering year two of the $4.4 million deal that he signed. He signed a two-year, $4.4 million deal, and so this is year two. Now, the Bills can release Isaiah McKenzie and free up $2.6 million in cap space and only accumulate $300,000 in dead cap, and that's something that's pretty attractive to me that the Bills should strongly consider, especially considering they're over the cap. In 2022, he caught 42 passes for 423 yards, four touchdowns. And those were career highs in receptions and yards. And so a big uptick in production for Isaiah McKenzie, which, of course, is expected given the uptick in opportunity and the fact that, you know, Cole Beasley really wasn't a part of the team until the last couple weeks of the season. Some advanced numbers on Isaiah McKenzie that I want to bring up. 3.1 yards after catch per reception. That's extremely low for a player like Isaiah McKenzie that you think would be a good player after the catch, but he only gave you 3 point yards after catch per reception. 10.6% drop rate, that's way too high. And I think when you look at Gabe Davis at over 12%, you have Isaiah McKenzie at 10.6% drop rate and Dawson Knox, who is just under 10%. That's three of your most prominent weapons in your passing game with drop rates, you know, around 10%. And I think probably if you took all three of them combined, it'd be over 10%. And that's a bit of a problem that needs to come down. The other number that I want to mention here is Josh Allen had a 95 passer rating when targeting Isaiah McKenzie, which is okay. As far as his 2022 review, I think in a lot of ways it's like Gabriel Davis. When you provided a player with limitations in their skill set with more opportunities, it limited your offense. Isaiah McKenzie continues to be ineffective at reading coverage, making side adjustments, and being available in zone coverage. He didn't make anybody forget about Cole Beasley and how Cole Beasley impacted the scheme in ways that Isaiah McKenzie can't. And part of our conversations in the offseason leading up to 2022 was that I had my doubts that in his age 27 season that he would reinvent himself as a player, and that proved to be the case. Now, I like that the contract investment was minimal with Isaiah McKenzie, and that makes his season last year more digestible, but not having Jamison Crowder healthy took away from the slot production, put more on McKenzie, and I think that hurt the offense. So as far as my 2023 outlook, I would, if I were making the call here, I'd take advantage of the cap savings and say goodbye. He's a limited wide receiver, four or five, that doesn't really bring added value on special teams outside of, in an absolute emergency, asking him to return. And then even if you ask him to return a kick or a punt, you're going to hold your breath because of the consistent, you know, decision-making and ball-handling issues that he's illustrated throughout his career. And so I don't know if the Bills will move on from McKenzie, but the ability to free up, you know, $2.6 million in cap space looks very attractive to me. Let's move on to Khalil Shakir, a 2022 fifth round pick, 148 overall. He turns 23 today, literally on February 3rd, the day that I'm releasing this podcast. So happy birthday, Khalil Shakir. He's entering year two of his four-year, $4 million deal. In 2022, he played 29% of the snaps on offense, and the only special team snaps that he played was when he got a chance to be the punt returner after Jamison Crowder got hurt and before Nyheim Hines was acquired. He caught 10 passes for 161 yards and a touchdown, and then in the playoffs, he actually had 5 receptions for 91 yards. As far as his review, I thought he had a really good preseason that showed us some exciting flashes of his playmaking ability. Now, in season, the production was, you know, it was modest, right? He caught 10 passes for 161 yards, but I really enjoyed the flashes. I mean, we saw some vertical ability out of him. We saw some good route running. We saw him win in some contested situations. He was actually 2 of 3 in contested situations, decent yards after catch ability. I think it was a really strong foundational year for him to learn the offense and establish some chemistry with Josh Allen. Now, in 2023, I'm excited to see how he evolves. I'm hoping for more opportunities, which will, you know, in a lot of ways, depend on who they add. But I think he is trending towards being a top four wide receiver for the team. Is it going to be next year? Maybe. It depends on what additions they make. But I think within a few seasons here, I think you'll see Khalil Shakir gain more and more opportunity with this offense, and I'm excited to see how that all unfolds. The next player I want to get to is Jake Kumerow. Was re-signed for 1 year entering the season. He's 30 years old. He turns 31 later this month. His contract is expired. He completed his one-year, $1.2 million contract. In 2022, he only played in 6 games. He had 4 catches for 64 yards, and obviously we know that he's a valued four-phase special teamer for the Bills, but the injury that he had only allowed him to play in 6 games. And so his availability obviously reduced his impact as a, you know, a depth receiver that plays on special teams. So when I consider Jake Kumerow in 2023, the question that I have is he going to be back? He's the only wide receiver on the roster that can really help on special teams, which we know the Bills value. We know Sean McDermott calls him a glue guy and has really sung his praises any opportunity that he gets. And so if he's back, I think he's an ideal wide receiver 6, but I think the makeup of the room really matters in this conversation. He can be your wide receiver 6 behind Diggs and then a legitimate slot receiver, Davis, Shakir, some other meaningful addition like we've talked about, and then Jake Kumerow. I think that's how it's digestible for him to be back. But, you know, with him being an aging player that's limited on offense, that really thrives on special teams, I think counting on him to be more than a wide receiver 6, you know, is really not smart. So we'll see if he's back. I wouldn't be surprised based on the way that they speak about him, but it could be an opportunity. If you like some younger players, you get multiple young players in the building that, you know, you want to keep. I don't think you should be rostering Jake Kumerow over them, right? And so I'd like to see the Bills maybe get younger here, but the challenge is, you know, all the other guys in the depth chart at wide receiver really don't help you on special teams, and you need at least one of your depth receivers to contribute in that capacity, which is something the Bills really don't have outside of Jake Kumerow. Today's episode is brought to you by TurboTax. Go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who will do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so that you can do, well, not taxes. You can show your eyes things that are not taxes. You can unpack a moving box of not taxes. You can sing to not taxes a lullaby. You can hope that not taxes sleep through the night, and you can grab a saddle and ride not taxes into the sunset. With TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish, ensuring that your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so you can relax. Feels good to be done with your taxes, doesn't it? Come to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Intuit TurboTax, full service products only, video meeting while expert does your taxes required. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. All right, folks, we got a few more wide receivers to get to here on the podcast. The next one, Jamison Crowder, 2022 free agent signing. He's 29 years old. He turns 30 in June. His contract is expired. He completed his one-year, $2 million deal. In 2022, he only played in four games. Obviously, the broken ankle limited his opportunity this season. And in those four games, he caught six passes for 60 yards. In terms of his 2022 review, you know, he had a real chance here to platoon with Isaiah McKenzie in the slot, but he was hurt. And I think that's kind of the issue. Availability continues to be an issue for Jamison Crowder. He got hurt during training camp, got healthy, started to get involved in the offense, and then he got injured again. And so when I consider his 2023 outlook, I continue to be worried about his durability. I think the last four seasons of Crowder's career has told you that this guy is going to miss time. And considering how important the slot role is for this Bills offense, I don't know that I would want to lean on a guy that has his injury history. I'd rather have Cole Beasley, to be completely honest with you, if that can be worked out. So not sure if Jamison will be back, but if they aren't able to get something done with Cole Beasley, I'm sure they'll have to think about it and live in this world again where you platoon Crowder and McKenzie from the slot. And again, I'm hopeful that that doesn't have to be the case. Let's move on to Cole Beasley. Speaking of Cole Beasley, acquired through an in-season signing this year. He's 33 years old. He turns 34 in April. His contract is expired. He has stated that he'd love to come back if it can be worked out. In 2022, he only played in four games, including the playoffs, had seven catches on 11 targets for 86 yards and a touchdown. As far as his 2022 review, kind of a challenging situation for him to get up to speed. You know, after he went to the Bucs, kind of a late addition, didn't really have a normal offseason with the team. You know, he's only there for like a week or two. He retires, and then he comes out of retirement to play for the Bills. And, you know, as we know, he was only really playing pickup basketball games. That's really different than football shape and getting yourself in a position to be calloused up to play, you know, football and gain a meaningful opportunity within the structure of the offense. Now, I will say that I thought he was really impactful in the playoff win against Miami. Big catch to set up a touchdown. Then he scored a touchdown himself. Two huge catches in that ball game. I thought in the Cincy playoff game, he looked good as well. And so as I consider his 2023 outlook, I'm interested in him coming back. And I would offer him the same deal that you gave Jamison Crowder this offseason, one-year, $2 million, and see if he can be your featured slot guy and mentor Khalil Shakir to potentially take over that in 2024. Last player to get to here is John Brown. Was acquired as an in-season practice squad signing, 32 years old. He turns 33 in April. His contract's expired. He caught one pass this season. It was the 42-yard touchdown against the Patriots. It was a huge reception, and so that was a fun moment, but that was really the only ball that he caught. He had three targets, and that was the one catch that he had. As far as his 2022 review, obviously the huge catch against the Patriots. I thought he had a big block on the James Cook touchdown run against Miami, which is, you know, was a good moment in that football game. But it's hard to really come away with a whole lot of takeaways, just given how few snaps that he was on the field for the Bills. Now, as far as his 2023 outlook, you know, I don't know that you sign him with the intent of him being one of your top six receivers, but I think he'd be good to bring back, you know, right away in terms of your offseason so he can be part of the program, and then always have it in the back of your mind that he's a practice squad player that provides you insurance. And so if you wind up needing them, it's not calling him off the street. It's, okay, he's on the practice squad. Now it's time to sign you to the active roster, and you don't catch yourself in this position where he's not in game shape and he's not up to speed to be able to help the offense. Now, I don't think he's at the point in his career where you're really going to count on him to be a high volume target, but as an insurance policy on your practice squad, given that you can have veterans on your practice squad these days, I think that would make a lot of sense. So bring him back on a minimum type deal, but the intent would be to stash him on the practice squad. So quickly here, what's the overview? We talked about all these receivers, which gives us a good understanding of what the Bills have and what they need. So let's kind of boil that all down into a couple sentences here. Well, what do the Bills have? Well, they have an elite number one wide receiver in Steph Diggs. They have a developing young player in Khalil Shakir. They have Gabe Davis, right? We spent a lot of time talking about him already. They have him. And then they have a bunch of decisions to make here. Several expired contracts. They have Isaiah McKenzie's contract, which they can get out of for $2.6 million in cap savings. And so some decisions to make here on expiring contracts and, of course, Isaiah McKenzie. Now, what do they need? I think they very clearly need a true slot receiver and or a more complete option as your number two wide receiver to that can eat into Gabe Davis's opportunities. Again, if you can get that meaningful slot receiver that can help you in the short to intermediate areas to kind of give you the stuff that Gabe Davis doesn't, okay, well, then I think you can live in a world where Gabe Davis is kind of back in that number two role, with the caveat being that you have a real slot receiver. Now, if you don't accomplish that slot receiver piece of it, well, then I think you have to make a meaningful investment in a wide receiver too, potentially with an early draft pick. And so looking for a shakeup here. And I don't think that it's an impossible, you know, thing for the Bills to figure out. I think you have to either draft a wide receiver early on that can provide a complete skill set opposite of Steph Diggs, or find yourself a slot receiver. And maybe it's just a matter of sign Cole Beasley on that minimum type deal, 1 year's $2 million, draft one in the top two rounds to go with Gabe Davis and Diggs and Shakir, and then whoever that wide receiver six is that you want to have on your roster to play special teams. I don't think it's a huge roadmap here, a really challenging roadmap to get this figured out. I think the Bills will have options in the first two rounds of the draft, and they can really shore up this wide receiver core situation, again, with that caveat being that you know, bring back Cole Beasley and really figure out how to get that slot production back to the way that it was in 2020 and 2021. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. And this week on the podcast, we'll continue our performance review series. Next week, we got the offensive line to start digging into, and then, of course, the defense, and, of course, herd mentality coming your way as well. So don't miss anything. Make sure that you're subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great weekend. Go Bills. And I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.